This is the Ico Podcast. Hello and welcome back. It's Thursday, March 17th, episode number 13, I believe, the Ico Podcast. I'm Kent.
And I'm Clayton.
And it has been a heck of a 24 hours. I know I have said this before in intros to the show, but it has really been exhausting this time.
And like, not actually, just, yeah, actually exhausting.
For I would assume to be thousands and thousands of people all across the country, if not world, who are trying to buy tickets to the return show, which we talked about at length in our last episode about what we thought would happen, and it was confirmed shortly after that release. So on Monday morning of this week, what was that date?
The 14th?
Yeah, March 14th.
Yeah.
Which was, I mentioned in the last episode, they announced the teaser for this, the announcement of the teaser of the announcement. Do the math on that one. That it was on the anniversary of the start of Sundara, right, 3 years ago, so it was very fitting. And the return is essentially 3 years after the finale, mm-hmm, which took place in LA, also back in 2019. So they announced that the show is happening in Seattle on Friday, July 29th. Presale tickets were to go on sale today at 10 a.m. Pacific. And they did, but a special little treat for what I would consider to be probably Odessa's most dedicated fans, mm-hmm, was leaked out in, not, I don't want to say leaked, it was obviously planned, in that Odessa themselves actually went into the Discord chat and added a QR code, which took you to a secret presale of sorts for, mm-hmm, this show on Friday, July 29th, which turned out to offer fans not only the easiest access, but the best pricing to tickets. And I'm actually surprised at how well people kept it within Odessa fam. I was shocked.
I haven't seen it floating around more, or I didn't see it floating around more yesterday. Yeah.
I did see the Festive Owl Facebook page posted the QR code at, it was very late last, mm-hmm, night, so it took at least, you know, 12 hours for that to happen, and I was a little peeved. I was like, come on, man.
Come on.
Like, you know, this isn't for public consumption. It is to be seen by only certain eyes only. But I did scoop up a floor ticket, and I know several other people did. They were originally priced at $99 plus fees, but they started implementing dynamic pricing, which is a new concept to me. Because I'm used to festival pricing that is just very set in.
This price.
Yeah, there are tiers in festival pricing. So I guess it's similar to that, but this almost seemed like it's just based on how many people are buying per time segment or whatever. Not
like they put in a, like, it almost to me looked like a supply and demand thing.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
As soon as a bunch of people got on, the price shot up.
So I had tickets in my cart, per se, and I clicked purchase, and it pops up the screen that says, you know, verifying that the tickets are available. And the moment that I do that, it says, we're implementing dynamic pricing. The ticket price has increased to $119, so it goes up $20 for everything. So you could get a floor ticket with fees, taxes, everything else included for $150. So, mm-hmm, that's basically kind of, you know, or less. Maybe you got it for $130. But that was basically the benchmark for the secret sale. So then today, which is Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning, tickets went on sale officially. I clicked on the link just to see what demand was like, and the waiting room had, you know, over 2,000
plus was
people
the screen grab everyone posted, and I myself got into.
Yeah, same. And so I just sat in there, mostly curious to see what pricing would look like, mm-hmm, for that show. But I never even make it in to the actual ticket purchasing
area.
Oh,
really?
No, it still said by 25 minutes after on sale, I'm still sitting at 2,000 people in the room. I think everything just kind of eventually got so close to selling out that it just wasn't letting any other people in there. And then we get the text, or it's been a little sporadic for me. Sometimes I get an IG DM, or sometimes I get a text, or sometimes I see them.
Yeah, it's spotty. I haven't been getting really many texts at all.
Yeah. So they announce a second show, which is something that was speculated, mm-hmm. at least in the Discord land, yesterday, that it's a little odd that they would announce a Friday show without something else. So a second show gets announced for Saturday, July 30th. Those tickets, this is obviously planned as well, because those tickets then go on sale 45 minutes later after the original. So like 20 minutes after they announce this, they say, okay, the second show is going to go on. Once again, at 10:45 Pacific, those go in. I click to get into the waiting room. Again, 2,000 mm-hmm. plus people are there. This one goes a little bit faster.
There was movement on that one for sure.
Yeah, and you end up getting at least some type of ticket.
I snagged some nosebleed tickets. I was in, I think I joined the queue 5 minutes before the time. So it puts you in like a waiting room, and then you hit the time, and then you get to a different website or a different queue or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of
and
waiting.
I feel like I waited maybe 15 minutes before I got in. And by the time I got in, I mean, there was still some GA left. Most of the seats on the ground level were gone, and then there were a pretty good amount of nosebleeds left.
Yeah. So, interestingly, I was clicking around, and I added a seat to my cart and then backed out to see if something better, because it was fascinating to just watch seats come and go on the map. They would just pop up, this is available now, obviously as people are adding them and taking them out of their cart. But finally it told me, you have added you've gone through this process too many times, and it kicked me completely out and put me back to the start of the waiting room. So now I have to wait another 2,000 spots to get in.
Wow.
And I do, but by that time there's really, really not much left in there at all besides, you know, some nosebleeds. But and even some of the seats that yesterday for the first show would have been $79 are now priced at $300 and some dollars. So for the second show, for those that were able to get floor seats, these have now basically doubled in price from yesterday. So I saw somebody post a screen grab that they were, for two tickets with all the taxes and fees, it was $500.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So not great of an experience in that regard. And even more interestingly, sometimes while you were waiting through that process, floor seats would become available and you would click purchase. And if you weren't very diligent in being careful what you were mm-hmm. actually buying, they actually just randomly reassigned you to a different seating area.
Oh, geez.
So, for instance, I have a friend who did this and thought she was buying floor seats for the second show and ended up in basically seating that you can't even see the stage.
Yeah.
And I saw other people posted about that, too. It was like, oh, crap, I didn't even pay attention. I just thought maybe I got a great, mm-hmm. you know, super fan deal or something since I bought tickets to the prior show, and I clicked purchase and then realized I'm not on the floor at all. And that happened to me too. I didn't purchase it because by this point I realized what was happening, mm-hmm. but I thought that was very odd. Like
to me, this just screams classic Ticketmaster.
Yeah,
just like madness.
I don't really have many great suggestions on how to fix this system. You know, I mean, there's just so much demand all at once. The one thing that I would like to see is some sort of official vetted fan club system that, if you know,
something.
Probably with a fee associated with it. I mean, these used to be huge in the days past, mm-hmm. where you were actually, you know, mailing in your membership. You know, fan club dues.
You remember the
and
mail,
all that
everyone?
Kind of stuff. Yeah.
And stamps.
And then you got, you know, first dibs. But even then, I mean, you know, who knows what scalpers are able to just join that group and do it all the same. So technically the official on sale is tomorrow, Friday, the 18th. This was
I'm really curious yeah, what's
this was the
be
artist
left.
Pre-sale today. So yeah.
So this is what happened to me. So I joined the original secret sale.
Yep.
No. I joined the pre-sale this morning for like the original what was supposed to be
the first show.
Yeah. And I had the same thing, 2,000 plus people. I waited, and then they announced second show. I get in line for that. I actually get through that second line first. I check out, I get my tickets, and then I kind of forget I have the other page open.
Oh.
And I come back to it, and it says, hey, you're ready to go. Click to enter. And I was like, this is weird. And I entered, and the prices of those nosebleeds at that time, that late in the sale, were absurd.
Yeah.
It was like,
I
could have swore I saw a nosebleed for $200. I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're labeling it, but it's something like gold access or whatever. It basically just means we will increase this price to absurd amounts whenever we feel like it. So the unfortunate thing about this, at least based on what I know of how these shows works, is that this is all on the promoter, which is Live Nation in this case. It's not Odessa saying...
No, they have no reign
over
that.
And obviously the show can go either way as far as Odessa has a guaranteed amount of money they're going to make from the show, and then whatever else Live Nation makes on ticketing, they keep. I have no idea what the arrangement is. Sometimes it's a percentage deal. Sometimes it's a guarantee. If it's a guarantee, then the guys are going to make the same amount of money no matter how much the tickets cost. So hard to say. This one might be a little more of a an intimate arrangement between the two since it's such an exclusive show. I have no idea. But nonetheless, a little later in the day, as pretty much everything sells out for the second show, I think we were all pretty stunned to see that they announce a third show.
I'm still reeling. I'm still
on Sunday.
In awe that they're doing that.
Somebody, I was tracking Discord pretty well through the whole process, and somebody did make note that last time they played a Seattle show, they did three nights. But it was a smaller venue. It wasn't this massive arena show.
Right.
So I think most people thought that was less likely, but here we are. And I am not totally convinced that this one was fully planned, because it took much longer for them to announce when the tickets were going to go on sale. Even though it's still today, but it said we'll have more details later today, due to overwhelming demand, we're announcing a third show and stand by, as opposed to, and they're on sale in 20 minutes.
Yeah, ta-da, we did it. Yeah.
So those were, at the time of this recording, those go on sale within the next 15 minutes, actually. So we'll see how fast those sell out. But if you commit to three of these shows, we're talking about festival level
easily
pricing, that you're putting a lot of money on the line to go to three different shows, which I would have to assume are going to be exactly the same show. But once you're already in Seattle,
you're in the city
show,
what else are you gonna do?
I might as well go to
pop in
one
there.
More so currently my strategy is to stick with my Friday floor ticket and then just see what the universe provides for the remainder of the shows. So I did have to think about some Fish fans that I know who it would not be an option to just go to one show.
No, you have to be at all three.
These guys are, even if they only bought tickets for one show, it's like, we're going to plan to be there every night and we'll just figure it out when we get there. I think the difference is that those tend to be different performances.
Yeah, they're jamming. They're doing their own thing every day.
They only play three songs the whole
They got three
3 hours set.
25 minute songs
exactly.
Or whatever.
So they can riff off that forever, but it's a little different when you have massive choreographed production and drumline and everything else. So that's it. So Climate Pledge Arena is about to see three possibly fully sold out Odessa shows at the end of July.
So we love our stats.
Yeah.
I need stats on how much Odessa-related money is now floating out in the world right now. Like, how much money one fandom just generated, not just for the band or Live Nation, but just in general with, like, Seattle and travel and all that stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, what is Odessa's economic impact to Seattle or the Pacific Northwest? Because people are going to come in early and stay later and obviously spend money on everything else entertainment-related.
On Starbucks merch.
Well,
all the coffee.
Sure. Absolutely. Hotels and everything else. So people were talking about the pricing of flights and how it's, astronomically expensive.
It's not the time.
It's really not.
It's not the time.
Way too early. So I think for domestic flights, usually the sweet spot is 5 weeks before the travel. But I mean, that's in normal times with gas surcharges and everything else. Who really knows? But I mean, I looked at some flights for July, and they were, maybe $340, but the exact same flight for 3 weeks from now is $177 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I would advise, just waiting on
hold.
Those.
Hold. Everyone hold. Wait.
Let's not get too crazy. I would recommend maybe putting a hold on some sort of lodging options because I think, that's a... That doesn't necessarily fluctuate that much, but there's lots of great options from what I could tell right around.
Yeah, it seemed like there was stuff close to the venue that's within walking distance.
Which I think is not far from the Space Needle, so there should be other opportunities to see and experience Seattle. So you've never been.
I've never been to Seattle. This will be a first for me and my wife.
I've only been once, but I had a very nice time as an avid coffee connoisseur. It was a nice experience, so looking forward to getting back up there.
I have an episode idea for the ICO. We get Visit Seattle CVB on here, and they just tell us what we should do. Like, hey, we're coming in this day, and just lay out a plan for us.
Plan it all out for everybody. Yeah, it's a perfect plan. Of course, the big next speculation is, will a full tour follow this? I mean, I think it will, but it's just a matter of what is
when,
the timing.
How close, all that stuff.
Yeah, so will we see that go into the fall, or I don't know.
And we've said this every episode for the last 5 or 6 episodes, but also an album announcement would be appreciated. That'd be great to
hear.
Oh,
right, that whole thing. I forgot all about that.
There's an album coming,
will they be
hopefully.
Playing... More new music other than 2 tracks?
They're going to play 2 tracks and dip, I think, for three nights.
Well, extended cut of those tracks, at least.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, so there's a lot to look forward to, even though that is 4 months away from now. There's a lot happening between now and then. And I'm sure there will be, much like the finale, I'm sure there will be all sorts of other events in Seattle surrounding this, especially since it's their hometown and it's easier for them to plan things. But I'm trying to think back to the finale. They had, a big merch pop-up sale.
I was gonna say, there's a pop-up somewhere.
And I think they did some meet and greets with other foreign family artists and stuff like that. So I'm sure there will be something going on. And I think we should have an ICO meetup of some sort. So all of
absolutely.
Our biggest,
we need
all
a
our
flag.
Biggest fans. Yeah. Oh, we do. We definitely do. But all our biggest fans can come and we can all chat together on a live episode.
Oh, a live recording, guys. Amazing.
So we'll look forward to that. Of course, if you missed the last episode or any of the episodes that we've been recording since the start of all the new Odessa drops, you can find those on theicopod.com or just search the ICO podcast wherever you listen to those.
And leave us a like, a review, subscribe, whatever you got to do on whatever platform you're on. Do it.
Indeed. Thanks. Reviews over on Apple Podcasts are especially helpful to us in the rankings. I think that'll do it for this episode. I'm Kent.
And I'm Clayton.
And we'll catch you next time.